I am a retired U.S. Army colonel. I've spent 29 years in the U.S. military, and I also am a former U.S. diplomat. I was in the U.S. Diplomatic Corps for 16 years. I helped reopen the U.S. Embassy in Kabul, Afghanistan in December of 2001, and was in Afghanistan for about 6 months, and then ended up going to Mongolia. You might say exiled to Mongolia, because I wanted to see what the U.S. was doing there. And some of you may say, well, why did it take you till 2003 to actually resign from the U.S. government? Well, you know, for people who have kind of made up their mind that they're going to be a government employee, it's a difficult thing to finally resign, no matter what that government is doing, because you can always put the blinders on. And while you may know, and certainly I knew the good, the bad, and the ugly of what the U.S. was doing, but I could find programs and policies that I could work on that I felt were not the harmful ones. And, you know, I'm not a part of that war in Central America, or I'm not a part of this or that. When reality, you are a part of it. You are a part of it by staying in the government. However, America does not have a rich tradition of resignation on principle. We don't have that. It's not one of those things that is taught in schools, you know, that if you really believe that a government is doing wrong, or a corporation is doing wrong, or a trade union is doing wrong, or, you know, whatever it is that you've been a part of. I mean, how often do we tell our kids, you know, you ought to resign on principle. You really ought to, you know, there's something more important than working for that organization that you don't agree with or you think it's doing wrong. Well, that's where I was. And so for virtually my whole adult life, I worked for a government that now, since I resigned in 2003, I've spent the last decade now, can you believe it's been 10 years since the war in Iraq started? And that's where I resigned. I became one of only three U.S. government employees who ended up resigning on the Iraq War. Only three. But that doesn't mean that there wasn't dissension within the U.S. government. All three of us that resigned, each one of us received hundreds of emails. I received over 400 emails from colleagues in the State Department saying, what you are doing, your resignation is very important. This decision to invade and occupy Iraq is destructive for everyone. It's certainly destructive for the people of Iraq. They're going to, the havoc that the United States is going to wreak on the people of Iraq is going to be horrendous. And for the image of the United States, which was already in the toilet, it's just going to be flushed even deeper and deeper and deeper when we do that. But I've got kids in college, I've got mortgages, I can't resign. But there was a lot of dissension within the U.S. government on that decision to invade and occupy Iraq. You know, it's kind of interesting, trying to sort out what I intended to do with my life. Here I'd worked with the government forever, and I didn't know anybody in a peace group. I mean, that wasn't, as a government employee, you don't necessarily know people in peace groups, in one way, the governments are supposed to be working for peace, but they certainly don't work with peace organizations. They only work with military organizations. So I was, found a wonderful group of people and the network kept expanding. First, Veterans for Peace, U.S. military servicemen and women who have formed an organization that's now almost 20 years old called Veterans for Peace. And it is an international organization now. But that organization helped me connect with other groups, including a great organization called Code Pink Women for Peace. One of the, in the U.S., it's called kind of like a radical group, or by the media, it's called a radical group. But all it is a group of, started out to be just women who got in front of the White House and had, for 4 months after the Iraq War started, had a big mobilization out in front of the White House, and several women got arrested during that period. And they're kind of the heart of the anti-war movement in the United States right now. because as you all have indicated, even here in Ireland, it's been difficult over the last years to maintain the momentum after 2002 and 2003 with large mobilizations. It was easier for us in the United States when we had the evil George Bush. George Bush was a great person to rally against, and Donald Rumsfeld. I mean, we had the caricatures of evil that were out there, and we could mobilize hundreds of thousands of people. But with the election of the first African-American to become president of the United States, and a man who ran on some pretty progressive policies with the exception of what he was going to do to Afghanistan. Well, his election really did pull the rug out from under groups that had been challenging U.S. imperialism. It pulled the rug out from under because here we have somebody that we thought we could work with. And a lot of people are unwilling still to this day, 4 years later, now going into the fifth year, the second term of Barack Obama, to really challenge him on his policies in Afghanistan, where he quadrupled the number of U.S. military that were in Afghanistan. But he did warn us during his campaign that he was going to increase the number of U.S. military, that the focus was going to go from Iraq into Afghanistan. Now we have President Barack Obama, who is using assassin drones, execution drones, in a country where the United States has never declared war, that in Pakistan, where the United States is assassinating by name, or they think by name, but the President of the United States every Tuesday gets a kill list. And he takes the list that's developed by the American intelligence agencies, 16 of them, who come together and decide what list should we give of names of people who are allegedly destructive toward U.S. interests, that could perhaps be harming U.S. interests, whether it's going after U.S. servicemen and women in Afghanistan or maybe in other parts of the world, and they happen to be in Pakistan. But we'll go after them in Pakistan. So they give the list, and a small little snippet about why this person should die, and die this week. And the President of the United States goes down the list, and he starts ticking off the ones that he thinks should die this week. So now Barack Obama, first African-American president, elected by progressive groups, is now the president that is executing. He is the prosecutor, he is the judge, he is the jury, and he is the executioner. Last year, there were 48 drone strikes in Pakistan. There were about 150 people that were killed. We, the citizens of the world, get the names of the target person, and a little snippet about that target person. But then a couple of months later, we get the same name coming back up. Well, we missed him the first time, but those 10 people that we killed at the same time, we never get to know who the children are, who the families are. And in the tribal regions of Waziristan in Pakistan, there are no ambulances. There are nothing like that. There are no mental health clinics that they send out, people in white jackets that kind of help in car accidents or whatever it is. It's the people of the village that go to find what happened. We know something, a drone probably hit that, but we don't know why they killed the person in that house. But we have to go in and see if anybody is alive. And so people of the village come in and start clawing through all of the rubble. And then another drone is loitering above, waiting. And we send in another rocket, another hellfire missile from a Predator or Reaper drone. And if we don't get enough people then we wait till the funeral later on that night. And then we target a funeral party. So the use of this drone now in not only Pakistan and the undeclared war done by the CIA, we have the U.S. military that is conducting drone warfare along with the British military in Afghanistan in a declared war. Last year, there were over 450 drone strikes in Afghanistan. We don't hear anything about them. We have no listing at all of how many people have been killed in Afghanistan. We have Somalia. We have Yemen. And now we have the American president that is saying that for our next director of the CIA, we should have a man, well, with an Irish last name, John Brennan. I'm sorry about that. He's bringing, in my opinion, ill will toward you all with that last name. Here we have a man who spent his whole life in the CIA, and during the Bush administration, he was a part of the he was one of the architects of torture, the enhanced interrogation techniques that we have used in people in Abu Ghraib and prisons in Afghanistan and in Guantanamo. He's been a part of the extraordinary rendition program when he was the executive director of the CIA, of kidnapping and flying people all over the world to be tortured in secret prisons around the world. And that was one of the reasons why his nomination was withdrawn in 2009 with the first Obama administration. There was such outcry about that. And yet now the second administration of Obama, they put his name back in for confirmation, and this is after he has been running the assassin drone program. Well, right now it seems like where we are getting the most traction in the anti-war movement and the peace groups is on this issue of drones. And we're getting people all over the United States who are going to military bases from where these drones are flown. We are going to all of the military bases. Now there are some over 80 military bases in the United States that have some part of the drone program. So it gives us a rich field of targets of opportunity. And so now we have drone watches that are going on at least 15 of these air bases. And we've had people who have been arrested at these air bases. And the arrests, as we all know, sometimes that's the only time you can get media. The media likes to see. They want to see people in handcuffs, and they might give a small little explanation of why that person is in a handcuff, but it does get media attention to the issue. So that's really what we're doing now. We are having people all over the country that are going to the local military base and finding out about what's being flown from there and challenging it by stepping over a line and getting arrested. We now have two people that are in jail, one that's been put in for 4 months and another for 6 months for putting one toe over an arbitrary line and being hauled into federal court and being thrown in jail for 6 months, 6 months at a time. Most of the time, you don't get that much time. I've been arrested twice so far on these things. We've had three different trials throughout the country, and we'll be having probably another 8 trials by the end of this year, including one of mine. And that was last Thursday when John Brennan's confirmation hearing was held in the U.S. Congress. And that's when... That's right. That's when John Brennan, well, I don't know, did any of you all see this on TV? No. Yes. Well, it was on virtually every TV network in the United States and their international feeds because, you know, it was a big deal. John Brennan, here is confirmation hearing. He's a controversial person with controversial programs that he's in charge of. Well, we had Code Pink Women for Peace and Veterans for Peace and had about 30 people that got in line starting at 7 in the morning to make sure that we would get into that hearing. And when we got into it at 2:30 in the afternoon, we were the first persons in there and we had our little signs and we were ready to go. So when Brennan walked into the hearing room before the gavel even fell down by the Senator Feinstein of the Senate Intelligence Committee, we were on our feet. Don't confirm John Brennan. Arrest John Brennan. War criminal, assassin, assassin drone guy. And yeah, that's thank you. So then Senator Feinstein gaveled the session into order, and anybody that was left standing got arrested. So three people were hauled out yelling the whole way, assassin, assassin, John Brennan, assassin. Out they went. So the next round, it was the senators welcoming this seasoned CIA person who's done so much for your country. We thank you for your service. You know, three senators went on this. Finally, it was John Brennan's time to start talking about what good he had done for America. Well, I was the first one to stand up. I'm an Army colonel retired. I was a former diplomat. This man is an assassin. Get him out of here. He's killing people with drones. He's taken people and kidnapped them all over the world. And I got that out before Officer Tim came up and, excuse me, Ann, and I know him well. He's arrested me many different times in the Congress. That's enough, Ann. You got to come with me. And they know that we'll continue to yell all the way out. And actually, I wouldn't say they're our friends, but they do kind of get a kick out of what's going on. And they want to see what we're going to say. And we've actually turned a lot of those Capitol Police who were very pro-war back in 2002 and 2003 and 2004 and were rough as could be with us as we would be protesting the wars in the U.S. Congress. And as they hauled us out and put those cuffs on us and tightened them up until you thought your fingers were going to pop off, now they don't do that. In fact, many a time you have to say, I think they're sliding off now. You might want to tighten them up a little bit. So here was Officer Tim hauling me out. And then as Toby Blume from San Francisco got up with a doll in her hand and stood on a chair, he's an assassin. He's killing women and children. And she was hauled off. And then Joanne Lingle, who is from Indiana, all these people flying in from all over the United States. And Joanne had a list of all of the names of the people in Pakistan that we know of that have been killed by the drones. And it was taped together. So when she said, "And you, the Congress, don't seem to know who the names are," and Brennan says he doesn't know the names of the people that were killed, but I've got them right here. See, here it is. And all of this list flowing down. And as Joanne got hauled out, and all of these sorts of things that we are trying to use as a mechanism on national TV, on international TV, because you have to go to where the cameras are. They won't come to you, so you go to where they are. And the numbers of people that we have heard from that have seen this, that have said, what was going on about those drones? It's so important that we keep up the pressure wherever we find the openings to go after these things.